Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Robert Mueller, I know he's conflicted. He had a lot. There's a lot of conflicts that he's got, including the fact that his best friend is Comey. But he's got conflicts with me, too. He's got big conflicts with me. As you know, he wanted the job of the FBI director. He didn't get it. And we had a business relationship where I said no. And I would say that he wasn't happy. Then all of a sudden he gets this position. But you know what? He still ruled. And I respect him for it. He still ruled. No collusion, no obstruction.
President Trump speaking about the testimony that we are going to be hearing tomorrow. I guess at this time, what's the schedule, Tony? Yeah, I heard somebody say 3 hours and then a break and then 3 hours. Kilmeade said 4 hours and a break.
Yeah.
And 4 hours.
We, Jeff and Alan and I were just talking about how we heard Brian Kilmeade say that as well.
I wonder if it's it had to do
with
coverage.
We've heard from Fox it's three and a break and then three and a break. But then,
Fox should tell Kilmeade.
Yeah. But Kilmeade said four and a break, four and a break. Here's what I know. Whatever it is,
we'll
cover
have it.
We got it covered from the Mark Cox morning show all through the middays and however long
it
takes into the afternoon. Starts during Mark's show.
Yeah.
Actually.
What time?
Like 7 a.m.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
People are not messing around.
Yeah. Maybe that's Eastern, 8 a.m. Starts
this
during Mark's show.
It's going to be over
though.
By the time L.A. wakes up.
Yeah. So. Yeah, be listening to Mark in the morning and then just stick with us throughout the day. And we will have it all covered for you. It's going to be interesting.
You get to hear Tony completely nerd out.
You can. You will get to hear me nerd out. I'm going to be watching it from the second I wake up.
If you watch us on the YouTube webcam, which I guess maybe we'll just have on all day since
sure.
We'll be covering it, Tony's going to be rocking back and forth so much. You're going to burn so many calories.
I'm a swear.
You are. He goes side to side.
It's
the whole show, except for right now.
It's hard to look at.
Yeah, when Tony sits down, you know something's wrong.
Oh, yeah.
He's always standing up.
I think he sat down one time in the entirety of the time I've been doing this midday show with him. There he goes.
And I was sick.
And you, like, warned us. You're like, I'm going to get this chair.
Yeah, I do not feel good.
So what's your pregame workout for tomorrow? What, are you going to do some push-ups?
No. No, I'm just gonna nerd out.
Are you gonna some Red Bull?
Are you gonna sleep tonight?
Oh yeah, yeah. And I'll wake up, and the first thing I'll do is grab the remote and turn on the television.
Yeah, I've discovered. I don't know if this is TMI, but here we go. I've discovered since I'm a YouTube TV user, I can put YouTube TV on my phone and hang my phone over my shower door and watch Fox News in the morning while I'm taking a shower. Just take it with me.
Oh, I have a spot. I have a spot.
Sorry, folks.
In the shower that I lean it up. It sits on top of a shampoo bottle and then leans up against the wall.
You both are addicted.
And I can.
You both are addicted.
I can watch.
It could be cocaine.
TV.
It could be the news.
Could be
That's
the
right.
news.
Right.
Pick your poison.
YouTube TV.
Only options.
YouTube TV is the way to do it. It's the gateway drug.
YouTube
for
TV.
Full coverage anywhere you go.
Methamphetamine.
Which one would you like? Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to hear how this goes because we've got the Justice Department telling Mueller that his testimony has to be in the confines of the report. Anything else is being covered by presidential privilege, right? But as soon as he says If he says anything and the cat's out of the bag, this is all this is all a political show.
Yeah, the Department of Defense, the White House, they've warned Mueller to stick to the report. They said everything, you know, your testimony should not deviate from what is in the report and what you divulged in on your press conference whenever that was a month or so ago. My thing is he knows that. He knows that those are the rules. By saying that, especially by saying that publicly, you're almost daring him to
here's what I look
say
for.
Say more.
I'm going to look for the consistent phrases
necessary.
That come up over the course of actual testimony where you have a question that is posed by one Democratic congressman and then it's going to go to a Republican and then it's going to go back to a Democrat. Listen for the key phrases, the ones that they have come up with predetermined. These are the thing. These are the sound bites that we want to set up and make sure come out of this. These are the phrases. This is the implication. And then however Robert Mueller answers it, he answers it. Have you seen those reports that people are talking about, like how the Democrats are working with Mueller behind the scenes now?
I've seen those articles.
Are those
stuff.
Credible?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Good.
Might be more.
We're deeming
opinion.
It not credible. You want to know why today sucks? My daughter is 7 today. I don't handle this stuff
fine
well.
Age.
I've been telling her for the probably since she turned 6 that she's not allowed to turn 7.
Stop growing up.
And then she just comes up to me and she puts her hands on her hips and kind of sticks her butt out a little bit and just turns her nose up at me. She's like, 7. Deal with it. And she's my first daughter. She is the sweetest, kindest person I know. And she's just growing up so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Do you handle that well?
Mm-mm. I'm like you.
Does it kind of like put you in a dark place? I'm in a dark place right now. I'm bundled up in this blanket mostly because it's 30 degrees in here.
No, just, I don't know. Well, I guess kind of. It makes me sad.
I'm so happy for her because birthdays are such a big deal.
Right.
I'm going to haul tail out of here afterwards to try it. My family's going to see the Lion King right after this, and I'm going to try to make it before the movie starts. I won't see the previews, but I'm so happy for her. It's your birthday, and I just think, how is that even possible? And you've got a 16-year-old and a James is 3 or 2?
2.
He's 2?
16, 8, and 2.
That's the way to do it.
No, it's not. That was dumb.
No. No, it's not.
That was dumb.
Because when I think
can't take it back now,
like every ounce of
don't do that.
Innocence that slips away, you never get it back. Like it is on a constant slide away from just this purity of youth, and you know that like you have to teach him how to be in the world, not of the world, but in the world, and live that way, but. I don't want him to know. You know, like we sit here and we talk every day about all of this, I was going to say nonsense, and sometimes it is nonsense. I mean, I've got 18 clips sitting in front of me that aren't even able to scratch the surface of the importance of my relationship with my kids, you know? And I think most Americans are living their day-to-day like that. Maybe it's not their kids. Maybe it's your dog or your cat, and you love them dearly, and they mean a whole lot to you, the whole world. Or maybe it's a parent or a sibling or something like that. But it's just like 7 years. I had my first when I was 25, which every time I say that to Katie smiles in a polite way that says, dear God, no.
It ain't happening. Not for me yet.
How old were you when you had your oldest?
How old am I right now? 25, I think. Yeah.
25?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Hmm.
I just think it's Katie, you're a little delinquent here.
Pretty hot in here.
Is it?
Yep.
I don't know. So she turned 7 today, so we're going to be celebrating her birthday this evening, and I am extremely happy for her, and it's just like, and then I think about my son, he's going to turn 10. Whew. That's 2 digits!
Mm-hmm.
Double digits, Mom. I know it! Stop it. He's 9 and a half. He'll remind you of the half. Like, what age do you stop saying half? 9.5
Yeah, probably 9.5 I'd say.
10.5 I'm 12.5
Once you get to fifth grade, you're like, I don't need to do halves anymore. Yeah.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No.
16.5
I see the next age would be 20.
I think 16 is when it stops.
I think the next age you do a half is 20.
I think you do it all the way to 16.
Really?
How old are you? 41.5
Yeah. Yeah.
You are.
Kind of, well.
Close?
Yeah, getting close to half.
It's just something else. Well, there's lots to talk about today, and we are going to try to keep it light. I did a Facebook Live last night while I was waiting for pizza. This is how simple my life really is. I was waiting for a Papa John's pizza to get delivered, and everybody on the Facebook Live wanted to know where I was getting pizza. And I'm like, I'm not getting artisan pizza delivered to my house. I just want to feed children. I didn't even eat any of the pizza. But we're waiting for the pizza to get delivered. And my question to everybody on the Facebook Live was, regarding all this conversation surrounding the question about the president and is he racist and were these tweets racist and, you know, like, is this just a foregone conclusion? My question was, are you sick and tired of the conversation or do you think it's important? Seems to me, especially on a gender line, women are really sick and tired of it. And men, more than not, were over it, wanting to move on and wanting to talk about something positive. But there are not very many people who are like, no, we need to keep talking about it. This is the level at which this conversation has turned.
Do you think that President Trump is racist?
Yes, President Trump is a racist. What we saw in North Carolina last week was almost an impromptu Nuremberg rally, inciting hatred. And ultimately, I think implicit in that is violence against people based on the color of their skin, based on their religion, based on their difference from the majority of Americans. And it is in keeping with the president, who describes Mexican immigrants as rapists and criminals, who describes asylum seekers as animals or an infestation, who says that Klansmen are very fine people. It's very clear the path that he is taking us on.
Every single point he made there was factually erroneous. Every single one. The president has never once said that Klansmen.
Who was that?
Beto.
O'Rourke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get it just before he drops out of the race.
A day late.
Just in time for him to be totally irrelevant.
He says that he compares the Trump rally to a Nuremberg event. So Hitler ties there, Nazi ties there.
And who was, what network was that? Were they, and then they were playing.
WABC News.
Then they were playing the.
Sender back chant.
The sender back chant in the background.
It's very.
As he says, very, it's like a Nuremberg trial. Yeah.
He said it had like undertones of Nuremberg.
That just. Stop it. Stop.
There is not. There, you know, I think.
Stop with Hitler.
We have been told probably for the last 10 years or so that America is much more thin-skinned than it really is.
There is nothing in North Carolina that is Nuremberg-like.
Correct. Correct.
Knock it off.
The president didn't say that Mexican immigrants were all rapists and murderers. That's a lie. Beto is painting a picture of the president of the United States confidently based on lies. And that's the tone. Like I was saying, we have been told for 10 years that we need to stand up for the little guy in this country, that we need to defend the defenseless. And this is where I have a good friend of mine who's a Democrat, and he loves to talk politics with me. And one time he said, you know, forgive me, I'm just a bleeding heart liberal. And I said, that's something I love about you. That's truly something about him that I think is a characteristic of a human being that I admire, because he sees these policies as a way to help people. And that, I know him. I'm not talking about all liberals. I'm talking about him. I think that he is misguided on how altruistic government is actually ever going to be. I don't think that government officials seek office out of generosity and charity. I think they seek it out of authority and power. But when you consider the fact that we have been told by our politicians that the only way to be kind to one another is to be Democrat, and to be Republican is to be hateful. That's what it used to be. Now it's to be racist, and now it's to be misogynist and sexist and xenophobic. Those are synonymous words. When you listen to people like Beto and the other folks like him speaking in front of these cameras and microphones, it's just wrong. And while we've been told for the last 10 years that America's skin is very thin, forget the color. Let's talk about grit and the thickness of our skin as a country. We actually have really tough skin. And unfortunately, we never really truly understand that until we start to have it tested. But we have a pretty thick skin here in this country. And Donald Trump is the epitome of thick skin. He does not care. You can swing at him. You can even draw a little blood on him. He's coming back at you. It's kind of the American spirit. This ho-hum, everybody is a victim mentality that we've had, I don't think it's very American. And we can have thick skin and we can help one another at the same time. And we don't need to use the government to do it. I see people helping each other every day in this city, in this area, and not having to use taxpayer dollars to do it. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do the highlights. Happy birthday, Jensen. I'm just, all this music today is I picked for you. So happy 7th birthday to you. I'm very happy that we're going to get to celebrate tonight. And we got a little bit of show to get through here. Blair Ellis with the RNC, she's their national press secretary, is going to call us at 1240 and prep us for what she expects from the Mueller testimony. We'll be talking to Blair in about 20 minutes, but the highlights first when we come back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
Trump has zero concerns except that the taxpayers are on the hook again for this fantasy that never came true for the Democrats who promised all of you, and sometimes with your help, that there would be criminal conspiracy and collusion. The Russians helped the Trump campaign. We welcomed help, and it turned an election where you know that's not true. Director Mueller himself has said that his report is his testimony that ought to be respected and that ought to be accepted.
Kellyanne Conway, not sounding scared about tomorrow, but we will have live coverage throughout the course of the entire testimony given by Robert Mueller in front of the House. Now, it's going to be a very interesting thing, and we will be covering it live here on 97.1 from the get-go. So make sure you tune your radios right to 97.1 from the very beginning and stick with us throughout the entire day. It's a good day to maybe bring your headphones to work if you're able to swing that. I remember one time when I was in college, it was fall. I think it was 2006. It was October. I was in media critical theory. It was a Wednesday night, 3-hour class, one of the hardest classes to get through. And the Cardinals were in the playoffs. They ended up winning that year. And I had constructed a device where I ran an earbud up through my sweatshirt sleeve, wore a hoodie, up through my sweatshirt sleeve, taped it up my arm, and had on the palm of my hand the earbud so that I could sit at my desk with my hand up on my ear like I was taking notes so I could write with my hand and then have my palm up there and listen to the game. And like somebody scored or something and five people in the class all at the same time, like kind of jumped up and smiled. And he's like, "What's the score?" We're like, 2-0.
That is dedication right there.
I had missed one. You could only miss, I think you could only miss one class. I think you were only allowed to miss one class if you, and still be able to pass.
Mm. And only one?
I think so.
Oof.
I think so.
We had three.
But it was a 1 day a week class. So,
gotcha.
That's kind of, that's probably usually, you know, you could have 3 day a week classes, 2 day a week classes, or 1 day a week classes. and I had missed one to go to one of the other games. So couldn't do that anymore.
Had to stay.
And yeah. That story ended well, though. We won the World Series that year.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
The Senate today voted overwhelmingly, for once, to confirm President Donald Trump's pick for Secretary of Defense Mark Esper. The vote was 90-8, giving the Pentagon its first permanent chief since James Mattis stepped down in January.
James Mattis in January?
Yeah.
It's almost August.
I know.
It's the Secretary of Defense.
So it was 90-8, again, pretty overwhelming. The some of the folks that voted against him, you might have heard some of these names. Kristen Gillibrand, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren. The ones that are running for president.
Really? Is it? Check, 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 check.
Yeah, those are among the eight that voted against him. But 90-8 to confirm Mark Esper as the new Secretary of Defense.
A warning for swimmers to take precautions. A sad story out of Lebanon, Missouri. 23-year-old Tyler Wilbanks drowned this past weekend while swimming in the Willard Quarry in Laclede County. He got tangled in moss and drowned. He was not wearing a life jacket.
Eesh. Macy's is under fire after a woman posted a photo of plates with sections dedicated to different jean sizes.
I almost opened this segment talking about that. I'm glad I didn't.
I printed this out for Tony for an Annie. Yeah. Are you okay later this week?
Crazy.
I'm going to go throw it away now.
We're all over this story.
The smallest portion is labeled skinny jeans. The next is favorite jeans, and the largest one is called mom jeans. The plates were looked at as promoting fat shaming and food guilt. The plates were made by a brand called Portions and were only being sold at one location. Portions president Mary Cassidy told the Huffington Post that the brand feels badly if their plates, which were meant to be taken lighthearted, were hurtful to anyone. In response to the backlash the brand faced, Macy's commented on Ward's tweet, assuring her that the product will be removed from all Macy's locations.
I'm going to comment on this, but after sports.
The Cardinals held on for an extra innings win last night, beating the Pirates 6-5 in the opener of a four-game set. Both teams are tied at two entering the 10th when Paul Goldschmidt, of all people, broke it open with a grand slam, giving the Cardinals a 6-2 lead heading into the bottom of the 10th. Cardinal bullpen, though, of course, allowed three runs. They needed a Jose Martinez throw from right field to gun down the would-be game-tying run at the plate for the third
out.
They had to go to a video review to make sure that that out actually happened.
It was close.
It was upheld. It was really close.
Was
he caught the toe.
Close.
Same two teams tonight in Steel City. The win moves the Cards back into second place in the Central, a game and a half back of Chicago. Chicago just won't win enough to put the Cardinals far enough in their rearview mirror. The Cardinals are staying just close enough to keep it tantalizing, much like last year. I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
No, Tony, in six.
the Cardinals in two. What?
Jets in six.
Jets in six. Worst prediction ever. We're in the wild card second spot right now.
Does the...
Today.
Instant replay, did that eliminate the phantom tag from baseball?
Quite a bit at second base for sure. Because
people just always, if people try to do it, they just review it and
they're going to get caught. Safe. Yeah, I mean you're going to miss it. It's tough to see.
Explain
things
the phantom
so
tag.
Fast. A tag that doesn't quite hit the runner.
That is like typically more used procedural.
Typically used in a double play.
The phantom foot tag.
Yeah,
the tag of
the base when
in the area.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's done for safety purposes. Mm-hmm. The shortstop or the second baseman will intentionally just sort of brush by the back of the base and then throw the runner out at first. They've clearly beaten the runner, and instead of getting right on top of the base and creating contact, they sort of brush by the base without touching it and then throw the ball down to first for the second out. It's sort of done as the ball had clearly beat you. Instead of putting two people in the line of contact, this is how it's been done for years. But now, I guess, get on the base and get yourself knocked over. And
adding collisions
or
to second base and taking collisions away from home plate.
Yeah.
Except in some cases, they're not taking away collisions from home plate.
Did you see Yadier Molina react to? Was it the Angels or no? It was something on the West Coast.
Babe at Anaheim, yeah.
Yadier had words.
Yeah.
For that that I cannot tell you here. Interesting. I don't know if, I mean, you don't want these very highly paid catchers getting trucked at home, but I don't understand it. It's just like anytime they try to soften a sport for safety and then there's no real way to make it, it's always subjective on how to, because the catcher can't block the plate, right?
Correct.
And that's the difference.
Unless the ball's right there.
It, well, if the catcher can make the play.
Correct.
There, but the catcher cannot set up shop.
Anticipating the ball and just, yes.
Do you like a good home plate collision?
Absolutely.
Frank?
No.
Why?
Because I want these guys to be able to have nice long careers. I don't want Yadier Molina to get nailed and be out.
Is it part of the game?
Yes.
Not anymore.
I think we've solved this. Katie, what do you think? It's the bottom of the ninth inning.
Let's take
just
on
last
tackling
night,
and
just
football.
Like last
Let's
night.
Take on tackling and football and shock and checking and hockey.
We don't need tackling anymore.
Yeah, this is
we don't need football anymore.
So we were playing the Pirates. Shush, boys. Just for a second. Then you can fight in just a second.
No, we're not fighting.
I know. I can tell. It's the bottom of the ninth.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals have just come off of a Paul Goldschmidt grand slam.
Oh,
that means
boy.
He hit a home run and scored four runs.
Nice.
And the Pirates come creeping back in the bottom of the ninth.
You grew up here, right, Katie?
And there is
I grew up on Mars, so I have no idea what's
just
going
in
on.
St. Louis?
And there is a play at the plate, and it's to tie the game. And the guy rounds third, and he's running home. And there's a catcher there, and the ball is coming in. Do you want to see a collision of people and see what happens after a knockdown drag out collision at home plate, or would you think that would be bad and mean?
No, I want to see that collision, baby. That's what I want to see.
That's funny.
Let's make a big impact. Let's make a splash.
It's like at the end of A League of Their Own. If Kit doesn't truck, what's her face?
She
Ginger.
Ran through the stop sign.
Yeah, she's selfish.
She absolutely is. She ran through her coach's sign at third.
You know why? She wanted to beat her sister.
She was wrong, and that's all she cared about.
Yeah. How about when Ray Langford trucked Dutch Dalton?
I need to YouTube. I need to YouTube that. You
got
it?
Got it right here. Oh man, this is great.
We'll share it to the Facebook page.
So wrong.
We're gonna be joined by Blair Ellis when we return. We're gonna ask her what she expects from the Mueller testimony tomorrow, and I can't wait to talk to you about these plates that Katie brought up.
Illegal nowadays. What I just watched.
Dutch is down.
The Macy's plates are illegal now.
Yes.
I guess they kind of are.
Watching videos over here.
Yeah, people get hurt feelings, and we can't have that anymore.
Hey, Bernard Gilkey. Felix Jose.
Bernard Gilkey.
What year
that
was
is
this?
Just a straight.
This is like 92?
Yeah, gotta be.
Send Katie the link. We'll put it on the old Facebook page at facebook.com.
Every Cardinal fan remembers this, man.
/ Annie Fry Show, and I'll ask you folks. We'll do a poll. Should we have collisions at the plate or no? You can pick sides.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
So look, the Democrats' goal is to get Bob Mueller to say that were Donald Trump not the president of the United States, we would have sought his indictment. The Republican goal is to say the entire investigation was illicit, illegitimate, and unlawful because of the deceptive way in which the FBI treated federal judges on the FISA court. And you allowed that to fester. You didn't do anything about it. And the public will decide what they want. When this happened in the Nixon era and Sam Ervin was chair of the Watergate committee, that drip, drip, drip went on for months. And there were many gotcha moments. We learned new things that we didn't know about. It's hard to believe that we will hear something from Bob Mueller's mouth tomorrow other than his opinion. That we don't already know about.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you. Hope you're enjoying the beautiful day. We are joined now by the RNC National Press Secretary, Blair Ellis. Blair, thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Thanks for having me on. Great to be with you.
You as well. So Judge Napolitano, they're kind of setting the stage for what he expects from Democrats and Republicans in the questioning of the Mueller testimony tomorrow. What are you expecting to hear as they try, the Democrats at least, try to get something extra squeezed out of this Mueller testimony?
I think Mr. Mueller has made it crystal clear from the beginning that the only thing he'd be sharing if he had to appear before the House Intel and Judiciary Committees would be precisely what is in his report that he released and was made public months ago. So I think Democrats are really just trying to use this as one big ploy, a political play, to up the ante with their base, to show that they're doing everything they can to resist and obstruct this president. And in reality, I really think tomorrow's going to be a dud. There's going to be no new news and no new information. Mr. Mueller has said that himself.
How much, for people like me who have never experienced anything like this up close and personal on Capitol Hill, how much pre-gaming goes into this for Democrats and Republicans? Like, what are we going to hear that they are going to have talked in a room for a long time about what they want the average folk in a purple state to get out of this?
There's a ton of coordination and strategy that goes into this. Actually, before I joined the RNC, I was over working for a committee on Capitol Hill, actually, on the House side. And so there is a ton of strategy that goes into stuff like this on both sides. But I think ultimately Democrats are hoping that some little nugget of something will be unveiled or relayed, when in reality we know that whatever information, again, that Mr. Mueller puts forth is going to be simply what's in his report. You know, at the end of the day, we know that there was no collusion, there was no obstruction. That is going to be the key takeaway. That is, I really think, what we're going to hear Republicans reiterating tomorrow. Members of both committees are going to reiterate the facts, and the facts speak for themselves. The Mueller report definitively decided and determined there was no coordination, there was no conspiracy with the Russian government in terms of election interference activities. And so Democrats are going to try and take things out of context. They're going to try and spin what Mr. Mueller says in a way that is untrue and mischaracterized. But this report speaks for itself, and I think ultimately that's going to be what we see stand tomorrow.
Are we going to find anything out soon, do you know, on the Inspector General's report? Is that something that we should anticipate soon?
You know, I'm curious the same. I definitely think we're going to hear Republicans tomorrow during both of those committees bring that question up. And I know that's something more so that AG Barr and his department is overseeing more so than Mr. Mueller. So I'm interested to see how Mr. Mueller kind of demurs with those types of questions. I don't foresee him really wanting to deep dive into the nitty-gritty on that, especially since the IG's office is kind of the one taking the helm on that. But I am curious. I know that'll be a talking point, as it should be. You know, how did we arrive at this investigation to begin with? How did all of this transpire? Those are all very valid, very relevant questions, and one that the American people deserve answers to.
Yeah, a Shannon Bream tweet caught my attention from last night just before 10 o'clock. And it said, breaking per Real Clear Investigations, claims that sources say that DOJ IG report will say Comey was running a, quote, covert operation, end quote, against President Trump. We're digging for facts. That's quite an assertion to suggest that Comey was doing something against President Trump there. And I feel as though anything that is taking place in the Mueller report investigation, if that comes from something that was started in a nefarious manner, I question that the American public is even really going to get to have access to that information, because there's such an agenda-driven media pushing a different narrative at this time.
Right. And I think, too, at the end of the day, we have to look back on the fact that there are 0% of voters out there that think that the Russia investigation is the most important issue heading into 2020. A big fat zero. And that's what we hear when we're out and we're talking to people across this country. I mean, they want to know what it is that Congress is doing to make their lives better. And simply put, plainly put, the Democrats in Congress haven't done anything. They've not moved any substantive legislation whatsoever. We still are waiting for USMCA to be ratified. We're waiting for the broken immigration system to be adjusted. We're waiting for Democrats to address the rising cost of health care. And instead, what we're seeing Democrats do is lean into investigations that have been decided, that have been determined. And I think that's just, truly, it speaks to the fact they've got nothing else to run on. And so in their minds, this is the only way they can appeal to their base.
We're speaking with Blair Ellis. She's the RNC National Press Secretary. I want to ask you a question about at least the proximity to the people who I get to speak to every day, average American hardworking individuals. Well, I'm standing here in St. Louis, Missouri. I can see Illinois. It's a little Sarah Palin reference, I guess. I can see Illinois from my desk practically. But I'm standing in Missouri, and you couldn't have two more politically different states right here separated by the Mississippi River. And I'm curious what the RNC, what Trump 2020 is doing or considering when it comes to states like Illinois or California or New York, these blue states. And I'll tell you, I'm an Illinois resident myself. It doesn't get any bluer than the government running the state of Illinois right now. And there is an example after an example after an example of what Democratic policies run amok looks like, and it's destroying the state. Is there going to be any attention on a blue state like Illinois from Trump 20 or from 2020 or from this president as he continues to move forward here? Or is a state like Illinois a lost cause?
We look at every state. We don't write anything off the map. Of course, we have to be strategic in where we choose to invest and where we deploy resources and staff and time. But we don't write anything off of the map. There's a lot of different ways to ultimately get to that 270 electoral votes that we need to get across the finish line. And so we've got our eyes everywhere right now. We've got our eyes on the states that Trump won back in 2016. We've got our eyes on expanding the map in other ways as well. And kind of the beauty of the RNC's ground game is that it's permanent and it exists from cycle to cycle, and we've been able to really capitalize and grow on our infrastructure since back in 2015 and 2016. We're in the middle right now of a national week of training. That is how we train and grow out our volunteers, our permanent base in our states and our communities. And right now we're conducting a lot of voter registration, and we're doing that across the country. So there is no one state that we write off, and we absolutely look at every state for what it is, if not for an opportunity to flip House seats. That's something else that we've really got our eyes on as we progress into 2020, is now that we have Donald Trump at the top of the ticket, that changes the game for down ballot candidates in a lot of ways. And I think that's something that Democrats right now are presently underestimating. And Mr. Trump is a force to be reckoned with, and those GOP candidates that fall underneath him on the ballot are really going to do well because of him at the top. And so our ground game coupled with the president at the top of the ballot are really going to shake things up, I think, heading into 2020.
I do think it's great to hear that and know that nothing is being written off, because I'll say, as an Illinois resident myself and very politically connected within the state, there are taxpayers of all different political walks right now that are watching red states have a success that we don't get to enjoy in the blue states. And you know, specifically here in St. Louis, I hear from people every day, move to Missouri. And the Trump economy is smiling upon the state of Missouri, and the policies by the Democrats in the state of Illinois are really holding back the success that is there. And I see so many people who have had enough of the way things are going, who have always voted Democrat, and they're looking for something else. And this president is the answer to that, in my opinion. He's proven his record this time around.
That's exactly right, and he's got a record to run on. He's got promises that he's made and promises that he's kept, and to that same point, this president is somebody that doesn't forget about people, unlike Democrats. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people that thought probably back in 2016 it was silly that Trump was spending time in states like Michigan or Pennsylvania or Ohio, because I think a lot of people wrote those off as blue, and for sure Trump went into those states and said, no, these are voters that have an interest in Republican policies. These are voters that want to see growth and opportunity, and they're not getting that from Democrat leaders right now. And Trump saw a pathway to victory in those states. He didn't let anybody tell him otherwise, and that's going to be the same approach the RNC, the Trump campaign, and that the president himself have heading into the next cycle. No voter can be forgotten. No voter will be forgotten. We're going to be as many places as we can, and of course we want to turn out as many people as possible next year.
Blair Ellis, RNC National Press Secretary. Great to hear that. We know that his attention to the state of Missouri has made many, many fans of his here, and we continue to hear from those, and the economy is something to be championed. And we look forward to hearing what Robert Mueller has to say tomorrow and moving past this and that IG report coming out next. It's great to talk with you, Blair. Thanks for coming on with us.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again soon. She's the RNC National Press Secretary. And I look at this blue state that I live in, and I cross a bridge and just magically come into this land of freedom. And I don't think that there is a strict red and blue division in the state of Illinois anymore. I think there's room for growth there. And Donald Trump's economy, it should be enjoyed by all. So great to talk with Blair there. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more baseball. I'm going to talk to you about those plates at Macy's that teach you how to not have to wear mom jeans in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.